Good morning, Lionesses. It's Natasha, and today is Thursday, April 27th. We are on call for your monthly business coaching call, and we're really, really excited because this morning we are being joined by Roberta Matchison. Welcome, Roberta.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Roberta is known as the talent maximizer. For more than 25 years, she's been kicking butt in leadership. She's the president of Matchison Consulting. She's helped leaders in Fortune 500 companies, Best Buy, New Balance, the Boston Beer Company, and anything from small to medium-sized businesses achieve dramatic growth and market leadership through the maximization of talent. Now, if you were able to check out our website about a month ago, we actually were really excited because Roberta's recent book, The Magnetic Leader, was actually our book of the week. And so we were really excited to be able to have her come to you ladies today to talk a little bit more in depth about how to be an irresistible leader. So Roberta, thank you so much for being able to join us. And leadership is just, it's a topic that we always touch on here at Lioness. Especially, you know, we're just slipping out of Women's History Month, and we were doing some talks over at Smith College about the importance of leadership. How did you get involved in this industry in the first place?
Well, first of all, if I knew you were at Smith College, I would have come to visit.
Yeah, they just had their Women's Leadership Conference.
Oh, well, it's in my hood. But
Yay.
How did I come to be in this position? Is that the question?
Yeah, how did you get involved in leadership?
Well, it actually started a number of years ago, and when I was 24 years old, I walked into work one day and found out that my boss had just been fired. And
oh, wow.
I did what I thought any other 24-year-old would do. I asked for her job, and they actually gave it to me. So at 24 years old, I was director of human resources for a commercial real estate company and had five people who were formerly my peers, now my employees.
Wow, that is amazing.
I jumped in and I learned, on the job. And so I'm on a mission now to make sure that other leaders don't do the kind of damage that I did when I was 24 years old.
I have to ask you, because now when you were thinking, I'm going after this position, even back then, was it a gut reaction like, yes, I want this? Or was it something that you had always strategically kind of had in mind?
Oh, gosh, no, I wasn't that strategic. I was 24. I was like, yeah, why shouldn't I get this job? I know everything.
Yeah.
I have a college degree. I have, a year of experience. I should be director.
Wow. That is amazing.
So
okay,
I moved into the executive suite, and
yeah.
At the time I was one of the few women on the executive team. So, that on top of it, and then also being in Houston, and I'm from the Northeast, so it was this whole, compilation of events that led to my quest to help others become what I wasn't at the time, which is a magnetic leader.
Wow. So talk a little bit about, so you got this wonderful position when you're 24. What was your trajectory like in terms of leadership in your career that began to lead you to have some of these remarkable experiences?
Well, everything I learned, I probably learned most from my mistakes. And, last week I was out at Lynda LinkedIn, and I just I'm doing a new course for them on going from individual contributor to manager, and that's one of the courses I'm doing for them. And I was really talking about how, you really learn the most from your mistakes. However, there are a lot of mistakes that if you don't have to learn the hard way, that's probably even better. But for me, it was sort of I had a mentor that I worked with. I had consultants that I surrounded myself with. And, and I also made sure that I continued my education. I mean, I went back and got my MBA, and, I wanted to make sure that when I sat at that table, I really did belong there.
Right. Could you talk to me a little bit about the responsibility of leadership? It was one of the things that I hadn't thought about. So for instance, we started Lioness and we were putting out the prototype, right? We were like, well, there's no media outlet that solely focuses on women launching startups, and we could rock that space and we could really help women. And then a funny thing happened. A woman reached out to us and she said, you know, I'm in Chicago. I was a part of a pitch contest. It was mostly men. I totally feel like I was discriminated against. And she laid out her claims of why she thought so. And then she was kind of like, so I know you guys are here for female entrepreneurs. What are you going to help me do about it? And I was like, oh, wow, I hadn't thought about that. The responsibility of leadership, right? She's saying, hey, you're leading female entrepreneurs. What are you going to help us do about these issues? And it wasn't something, like I said, that I had anticipated. So could you talk to us just a little bit about the responsibility that goes along with leading people?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, there are two parts to this. You as a leader are responsible for yourself. You know, and a lot of, like, I'm not really sure I liked her question. Like, what are you going to do for me? It's sort of like, I would have preferred, you know, how are you going to support me as I look to navigate this? Because, you know, even as a leader, you can't get people to do what you want if they're not fully invested. So it really has to be the individual. And that's why so much of what I've written in The Magnetic Leader is about, you know, first you have to change your mindset and you have to say, you know what, I do want to make this transformation. Because if you don't, you're going to read the book and you're going to go, yeah, and then nothing's going to happen. But if you're really committed, like, you know, this is important to me, and if I want to be able to be one of these magnetic leaders, if I want to attract top talent that will stick around, you know, if I want to line out the door of people who really want to work for me, then these are the changes I need to make. So it is a responsibility when you're managing people. And, you know, One of the things I talked about at LinkedIn, which, you know, if anybody has a subscription to Linda, LinkedIn Learning, you'll be able to watch is, you know, I talked about what happens if you decide in the end, I don't really want to be a leader. I tried it out. I don't like it.
Right.
You know, then what do you do? So it's a shared responsibility. I mean, if you're not going to be the best version of yourself, you owe that to your people to be. But on the other hand, you also owe it to yourself to be in the right place.
I just want to touch a little bit on what you said, which I think is an interesting and remarkable point about making sure that you are good to your staff. I think sometimes when we're hiring, we're like, we want to find the best person, but we're not thinking about, okay, but we get the best person, how are we going to be the best leader? Could you tell us a little bit about some qualities that you feel good leaders have?
Well, sure. I think first and foremost, good leaders are authentic, meaning they show up as who they are and they don't try to kind of adjust themselves to fit in with the political climate. You have to be, you know, savvy about the politics, but, you know, if your boss is a screamer, that doesn't mean you have to take on that persona. You know, they're authentic, and so when their employees are dealing with them, they know what to expect. They're not wondering, okay, which version of Joan is showing up today?
Right.
And I think that's really important. And then another aspect is transparency. You know, I've seen many leaders, you know, have information that they very well could have shared, and they don't. And then their employees are put in these very uncomfortable situations because of it.
Right. Oh, wow. So when it comes to actually being in the groove of leadership and you're starting off as a leader in your career or, let's say, in your company, because we work a lot with startup founders, what are some things that you found to be the hardest challenges of leadership?
Well, I think some of the hardest challenges is a lot of leaders try to become friends with their employees. And, you know, they don't really need your friendship. I mean, if you go onto their Facebook pages, they have thousands of friends.
Right, right.
They don't need you as a friend. They're really looking for you as a boss. They're looking to you as a boss. And, you know, so I find that a lot of times leaders are unwilling to discuss some of the difficult topics, such as, you know, hey, your performance is not meeting our expectations, because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to be friends after that conversation. But that does a disservice to the employee because they can't improve. And so, you know, you're not going to be friends in the end anyhow when you fire them.
Right. I think that's a great point. For myself, I found that one of the things that I struggle with in leadership is how to deal with conflict. And so I would take my time thinking about what is the best way to approach that. And I found out that while I was taking my time, the employee thought that either I was so livid about it that I wasn't speaking to them about it or that I didn't care. And so that was a shocker for me to learn. We actually did some in-depth surveying at Lioness a couple months ago. And so that was one thing that I learned, that, you know what, it's best to deal with situations as they happen right away.
Absolutely. And that's interesting because I have another new book coming out this year. And it's the second edition of Suddenly in Charge. And last night I was reading over the final edits for the book. And, you know, the topic that really resonated for me was when I was talking to new leaders about conflict in the workplace and how it can be a very good thing. You know,
right.
If everybody just sort of goes with the flow and goes along with these ideas, then we probably would never have had mobile phones, right?
Right.
Be like, well, what do you need that for? You know, you can make a call from your desk and you can make it from your, you know, home. Now, you know, think about, I mean, today I went out to run some errands and, you know, took a picture of a product that I needed to buy. And I said to my husband, oh my gosh, like, how did I live without like being able to take a picture so that I could remember exactly what, you know, my daughter asked for?
Right.
Rather than coming home with the wrong brand or the wrong flavor, you know. So when you're talking about conflict, it can be very healthy.
Right.
And I do find that people are very conflict avoidant, and it does come back to bite them.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about when women now, if they're in a C-suite position, and maybe there's only a few women there, how important is it to have male allies? And do you have some of those discussions with men on how they can help women lead?
Well, I don't necessarily look at it as having male allies. I look at it as having allies. Because,
right.
You know, tomorrow, you know, the VP of sales who might be a male, you know, might leave, and next week it could be a female. So I don't really tend to look at it from a gender perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some really great best practices for every leader, and that is you definitely need to build strong relationships with people who are your peers. And you can do that by, you know, supporting them in an initiative that they're trying to roll out, and maybe they're getting a little bit of pushback in that executive meeting, and you can say, you know, I think that Bob's idea is a really good one, and here's why, and, you know, kind of, you know, support him so that when you're out on the line and nobody's behind you, you know, somebody jumps in and says, you know, wow, Roberta, you know, we've been wanting to do that for a long time.
Right. So sometimes we have conversations with the female entrepreneurs about building an infrastructure, because when you're an employee, sometimes you go to a place and there's already a workplace culture. Do you have any tips for women when it comes to them setting the culture at a workplace that they run?
Well, you know, some of the lessons that I learned is that just because you don't have a life doesn't mean that everyone else doesn't have one or shouldn't have one. And I think, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're all in, and, you know, you're probably working 24/7, and you think that everybody should act like a business owner, you know. And I've had these conversations with my siblings who are entrepreneurs, and I'm like, you know what, if these people wanted to be a business owner, they'd own a business. So
right.
you have set boundaries. And if one of the boundaries you set is, you know, I left the corporate world because there was no work-life balance and I set my own business up, then you have to make sure that you continue that as one of your, you know, as one of the pillars in your organization so that you don't wind up like wanting to quit your own company for the very reason
right.
you left the last company.
So true. And I think that also comes with, like you were saying, making your employees, you know, feel like they have ownership and that they love their position. And so I just wanted to ask you a little bit about that because, for example, we were doing some work with a client a couple of weeks ago and we were working with the point person within the company and it seemed like he had no ownership of his position. Every question, of course, there's some things, you know, you need to go back to your manager to ask, but it seemed like everything that he was asking. And I thought, this young man doesn't seem like he's taking any initiative. Is there a way that we can have our employees, you know, be creative, have ownership, have ideas without, because I don't like micromanaging, if that makes any sense. I mean, of course, I want to make sure you're executing your roles and responsibilities, but are there ways to kind of encourage that kind of free thinking?
Well, it sounds to me, you know, that this person may have extended himself a number of times and sort of got slapped back into line. So I think it's really important that as a leader, you know, you give people some room to move and you give them the parameters. And so let's just suppose, you know, somebody can, you know, spend up to $500 without asking for approval. You know, that's okay.
Right.
That's your budget. And then if you go higher, you have to get a second, you know, or if you're giving them a responsibility for a certain area of the organization, then you have to believe that they should be in that role. And I think it's really hard to let go and think, wow, somebody can actually do this better than me.
Right.
And especially if that person is young, you know, so.
Right.
I mean, today, I'm walking into organizations, and I'm just amazed at how many younger people are in roles of significant responsibility, and they're doing an awesome job.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to just say, you know, if we hire somebody and we believe that they have what it is we hired them for, then we need to let them do their work.
Right.
And if they don't, then we need to guide them.
Talk to me a little bit now, about the magnetic leader and how it came about and the core message that you kind of wanted to make sure that you executed in the book.
Well, the magnetic leader came about after I wrote Talent Magnetism, which is about how to build a workplace that attracts and keeps the best. And when I write my books, I don't really read them until I'm done, which, you know, just my style.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Some people might not agree, but
I think you could get caught up in rewriting. That's a good point.
That it's like here it is. You know, it's going to get edited anyhow.
Yeah.
And so when I read the book, I just got to the end of the book, and I'm like, wow, this whole ability for organizations to attract and retain talent really comes back to the leader.
Right.
And so I said, you know, my next book is going to be The Magnetic Leader, and you know, if you look at the connection between irresistible leaders and their ability to attract employees and how customers are attracted to people who are very good at what they do and how that increased profits, that to me was like the perfect match for my next book. And so that's why I wrote it.
It's amazing. What has the reception been like thus far?
It's been terrific. You know, it just came out last month, and this is sort of the time when, you know, you're in full book mode launch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like management. It is definitely a marathon. It is not a sprint. And so, you know, your book sort of gets traction as you go. And it's the same thing with leaders. I mean, I think many leaders think that the moment they walk into a role, they have to be fully proficient and exceptional. And
right.
That's not really life. It's sort of like, you know, you go in and you give it your best, and then you look at areas where you might need some help, and then you get that help.
Mm-hmm.
And And that kind of brings me to my next point, which is, you know, I have found that the magnetic leaders that I interviewed for this book, most of them at some point in their careers invested in a coach. I find that really interesting. And I do a lot of coaching with executives and new leaders. And, you know, I can't imagine doing this without some help.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. It's hard enough, you know. And some days you go into your organization and you have no idea if this is normal or not.
Right, right. Yeah, I want to ask you a little bit about that, too, because you're doing coaching. Could you explain to our readers a little bit about the difference between a coach and having a mentor? Because I think sometimes they're used interchangeably, and it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, go right ahead.
I can do better than that. on my website, MatchesonConsulting.com, I have a free bonus chapter from Subtly in Charge on the difference between a coach and a mentor and when to use, you know, which one. And it's
going to
be included in the new edition of Subtly in Charge, but, you know, that won't be out till September. But if they want to go, they don't even have to put their name in. They can just download it for free.
Oh, that is awesome. Ladies, I will make sure that today I go back into the Lioness membership group and get that link out to you so that you guys could go over to MatchesonConsulting.com and get that free download. Now, if I can, while I have you on the line, I just also want to ask you about, because you know, you're the president of your own company, just being a female entrepreneur yourself. Could you tell me a little bit about launching your own company and the decision to do that rather than work for somebody else?
Yeah, I, you know, got to the point in my career where, you know, I had been in the business world for, you know, 20 years. And I had, you know, I say I had gotten to the top fairly quickly.
Yeah.
You know, at 24, I was like, okay, I'm done. But I did go on to start up other HR organizations for other companies in, you know, in a leadership role as well. But, you know, at some point I just sort of looked at it and said, been there, done that. I've done my third startup. I'm kind of done. And so I said, you know, I would love to be able to do this kind of work, but doing it in a different way and helping, you know, organizations get to this level where employees love to come to work and customers love to do business.
That is amazing. And so how have you been juggling, you know, leading that company and launching your books and then, you know, doing your book press?
Well, let's put it this way. Last weekend, for the first time in 3 years, I took a weekend for myself.
Nice!
I booked myself into a spa in California. And, you know, I had some quiet time and I got to think and I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
Like you're exhausted. And then I said, well, yeah, you wrote 2 books last year, like, you know,
wow.
And you have, you know, 2 high school kids,
mm-hmm.
and one is, you know, you're in the college hunt, the next one you're starting, and you're running a business, and you, you know, so there's a million things going on, and I think just, I guess I just have a lot of energy.
Yes, and the other thing about high schoolers is they are at the height, if they don't have their license yet, of like drop-off mode. You're like chauffeuring,
if
you have sports or clubs. Or So it's a lot.
It is a lot, but, you know, it's been a great journey, and, you know, I'm still on it, and, you know, I'm sure I'll do other books. I'm taking a break this year and just going to promote the 2 I have. I mean, now I have 4 books at the end of this year, so I feel
wow.
Okay, and I'm doing a ton of speaking. I just love to speak and present and, you know, help leaders really achieve their full potential.
Oh, that's great. Speaking of, you know, because you were just talking about what you want to do coming up, what are some things that you're going to be focused on over the, you know, 2017, 2018 for yourself, some new goals or achievements that you hope to hit?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Lose 10 pounds. Right? Don't we all?
Health is important. Yeah.
I want to get my son launched so that he's, you know, at the right college. That will be like a huge milestone. And then our daughter will be a senior in the fall, so I need to get her ready. But for my business, it's going to be. I've really shifted into doing a lot of advisory work, where you know, I will work with the CEO of a startup or of a mid-sized company or executives as their trusted advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, helping them navigate both personally through their, you know, through their career, as well as helping them create, you know, these fantastic work environments, because today's candidates, they just have so many choices, and you have to make sure that they're choosing you.
So with all that you're doing and leading so many other people and coaching so many other people, what do you turn to for guidance and motivation and inspiration?
Well, I have a mentor. I work with a gentleman by the name of Alan Weiss. Alan and I have worked together for, gosh, at least 10 years. So I know the value, even if we only
meet
once a month, I know the value of being able to pick up the phone and bouncing something off of him rather than, you know, kind of spinning my wheels going, am I supposed to be doing this? Do I do that?
Mm.
What language should I use? How do I project myself in a way that gets the attention I need?
When people are considering coaching, what are some things that they should look for in a coach or
a
mentor? I know they're two different things,
And I will share a link for you, with you for an article that I put up on LinkedIn on this very matter. But
some of the
things to really think about are, you know, first of all, it comes down to fit. I mean, you don't have to love the person you're working with, but you do have to like them.
Right.
I also highly recommend that you hire someone who's been where you want to go. And so, I mean, I know a lot of coaches who went to, you know, and got certain certifications, and they've never even worked in the corporate world.
Right.
Or they've never done a startup. So it's sort of like, you know, getting advice from somebody who's coming out of a Fortune 500 company who's never been in the crazy world of startups, that doesn't sound to me like maybe the best fit.
Right.
And so I always recommend that, you know, you find somebody, you know, if you're going to take lessons, you know, jumping out of an airplane, I don't know about you, but I want those lessons from someone who's done some jumps.
Absolutely.
Not just somebody who read a book and said, okay, Roberta, open up your parachute, I'm throwing you out, you know.
Oh, that's great advice. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. You're insight and gems of wisdom on leadership have been amazing. We will definitely encourage readers to go and pick up a copy of The Magnetic Leader, and we will reshare the Book of the Week link that we had. But if a member of Lioness is interested in connecting with you or following up and getting more information, how would you like them to contact you? Where should they go?
Well, they can email me at roberta@matuson, M-A-T-U-S-O-N. consulting.com. They can send me an invitation on LinkedIn and mention Lioness, because I do get a lot of invitations.
Yeah.
They can also follow me on Twitter at Matuson.
Oh, awesome. Well, I thank you so much. I wish you much success with your latest book.
Thank you.
And, of course, good luck with your children in college search. I know it can be a tough one, but it's awesome once they've made a selection.
Yes, and I think it'll be better.
I just want to thank you, ladies. Thanks for listening in. I will definitely put the link to Roberta's free download in the Facebook group this afternoon. If you have any questions for the latest female entrepreneur news, you can go over to lionessmagazine.com. And as always, unleash the lioness within and rock your day.